Welcome to the Flower Power Podcast. I'm here today. It's the beginning of spring. I'm here today with Gina Schley. It's the perfect time of year to have a podcast on gardening. I'm so excited to talk to this expert gardener and ask her all of my questions, which will hopefully be your questions. So, welcome, Gina. We're so excited to hear from you and have you on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. I love talking about gardening, especially this time of year. It's spring and everyone's so excited to start growing. So I'm all yours.
Wonderful. Well, I wanted to start with a question I actually got today from a friend asking me about how I use my coffee grounds because I was asking people for their coffee grounds. And I think that's gotten people curious as to how the best way to use coffee grounds as a fertilizer, as just something to help your garden, in the compost pile. So, how would you apply or use coffee grounds? And do those help plants?
Yeah, so coffee grounds have a lot of potassium in them. And so I used to actually go to the coffee shop, and a lot of coffee shops will, have a big like bag of coffee grounds that you can take. And I would take those whenever I was there. I would take those coffee grounds and I put them in the compost pile. So I don't actually recommend putting them directly onto your plants because you could build up like too much potassium. You want to put those in your compost pile and like mix them into the compost and let everything break down together and then use it on your garden. I know I've heard some people of like putting that around their plants, but I'm always just a little nervous putting anything like that's super like fresh like that right around the garden. Like I compost things first and then mix it in.
Okay. And what kind of a composter do you have? Because, for example, myself, I have a very small one. It never tends to actually break down. And I feel like it just sort of sits there and it never gets to the small size of things that I want. And I've heard that you can also buy like a shredder that can shred your leaves and your, I'm a florist, so I have a lot of plant parts and stems. And I'd like to be able to use that into compost. So I've been thinking about buying a shredder just because the compost seems to be taking so long. Wasn't sure if you have any tips or if you've.
Yeah, that I mean, shredding would definitely help if you can do that, or if you have, I don't know what that looks like. I mean, we have like a mulcher that we would use for different things, but like if you're, it depends on how much space you have. But all right, let me tell you, let's just talk about composting. Number one, I'm doing this online class. I've been filming it and we're getting ready for it. So I've talked a lot about composting lately. And one of the things I think that I said when I first started this class was like every gardener needs a compost pile. Like you just have to compost. It's like the most magical place in the whole farm. Like, I mean, I love the flowers, but the compost pile is where like life and death happens. It's like in this moment of you go out there, you put all this garden debris and you have to water it. That is a key part of it. And you have to give it time and it heats up. And amazingly, like things happen that you can't really see, but it breaks down all of this waste into rich, rich humus for the next year. And it's like magic, I mean, it's so amazing to me to watch the process. And I know it sounds like so unglamorous, but as a gardener and you see this happen over and over every single year, there is just something like everything you need to know about life, you can learn from the compost pile. So I think everyone needs a compost pile. So now let's talk about like very specifically how you do it and how you would do it if you have a small space. So I used to live in a new community where we had all like nice size houses, but tiny, tiny backyards. And how would you, and I even composted then. And so my neighbor and I would get a compost bin. It was like a square plastic bin with a lid on it, and you put it on the soil. So you don't want to put it on concrete, you put it on the soil, and then you would put all of your things in there, and you have to water it and turn it for it to break down. Okay. If your compost is dry, it's not going to break down. It has to have water and it has to have heat. And so the black bin gets it really hot, put the lid on, it gets it hot as well, and that will break down. And then you kind of turn it And you also have to have the right things in there. You cannot just put all banana peels, like all vegetable scraps. That's too much. You have to mix brown things with green things. So like greens would be all of your scraps from your kitchen. Never any meat. Okay, just like banana peels, carrot scrap beans and like things like that. And then you mix that with leaves, which would be the brown, or grass clippings. Okay, or flowers, like dead flowers, things like that. And so you mix those two things up. I mean, ideally, like you kind of layer it in there, water it. And then when you're doing it on a small scale, you're kind of adding to it all the time. But in, let's say, if you had space to have two of those bins, so you have one bin that you fill up, you water it, and then you let it sit, and that's cooking. And then you start adding to the second bin, and you just let the first bin just sit there and cook. All right. And so you're adding to the second bin. And then when that second bin is kind of full, the other bin will probably be ready. And so then it will break down. But I think the key is that you get it wet and then you turn it and you have a balance of greens and browns.
And
If you just go ahead.
when it's cooking, do you have to keep turning it? Or then at that
Well,
point,
no,
turn.
you could leave it there. So if you like put everything in there and you water it really well and turn it and water it, like you want it to be almost like a sponge, like that wet. Water it and turn it and then put the lid on and like let it cook. And you can leave it there and it should break down definitely within 3 months, but I would say even maybe less.
My whole backyard is full of black buckets from just getting flowers from flower farmers. So I often just they fill up with rain. So there we go. There's my water. And I've got the composter that you turn it, it's on already. You just do that. And so I'm gonna really try to get that meat this year.
I have another friend who just bought one of these up above ground circular things, and I don't know much. Like, I have not done it like that, but I don't quite understand how it works. Like, it just seems like it needs to be on the ground because the worms come up through the ground. Like, how do the worms get in that bin? Maybe they're coming in through the food and different things like that. Or do you have to introduce worms into
I
that bin?
definitely don't have any worms in there, so
There
that's
should
the
be worms
problem.
in there. Like, when you look in there, when you dig in there should be worms.
So I think I'm gonna do. I have a big backyard. I have a lot of deer. Will they go in there? And if they do, it's okay.
It's okay. It's fine. They're not going to go in there, I don't think.
Okay.
And then let me also just say, if you do have a big backyard, you don't really need those bins. Like,
Right.
I have ours just like an open pile. And I've done it at a community garden before, where if you did want to like make a space for it, you could use like fencing or something to make. I actually have like three piles. It's kind of the ideal. So you have one that you're adding to, and I even have a sign, add to, and it goes here. The second one is cooking. And then the third one is compost.
I like it. I like signs.
I like signs. Yes. So that way my kids, I tell them to take the compost pile out, they know, where to put it. We have a compost bucket and it goes in the right place. Yeah.
That's
But the thing that I see most people get wrong is they don't water it. They don't water it enough.
I did not know that you were supposed to do that. So rainwater's not enough. It needs more than just the natural rain.
I mean, it depends on where you're at. In Colorado, it's dry. So where you're at, it might rain a lot, but it just has to have water in it. If it is dry and it's open, it's just going to be a home for rats and mice and things like that.
I see. So keep it wet or the mice like it. We don't want that.
Yes.
Okay, well, I am so excited about that. So put your coffee grounds in there and everything else
Yes.
from the door. And so, what is your biggest gardening mistake? Like, think back, or maybe it was recent. What would you say was one of your biggest mistakes, or a very easily avoidable one, knowing what you know now?
My biggest mistake was thinking that compost was the holy trinity of like soil. Just add, when I first started, I had this little 4x8 garden in my backyard, and someone said, just like put 2 inches of compost on it, till it in, and you're good. And that is not true. Like, you have to add fertilizer. Compost is different than fertilizer. Compost helps the structure, the texture of your soil. It helps put things into your soil that's going to hold on to moisture. And it does give some nutrients to your soil, but it can also, if you add it every year, you can actually do more damage to your soil because there's a lot of salts and things like that in there that can build up. And so I did that to our farm here. And then I had a soil expert help me and I took a soil class and I realized, like, oh my God, he told me, he's like, don't add any compost for like 5 years, like
Wow.
no compost, too much.
Okay.
And, but I was lacking in other nutrients like calcium and magnesium,
Okay.
which just like our bodies need calcium and magnesium, right? Like the soil is just like our bodies and it needs calcium and magnesium. And then it needs those, it needs trace minerals, which you need to add into your soil. So I did not quite understand soil like I needed to. And I feel like it is the biggest thing that can make a huge difference on how your plants grow, how productive they are, how they rebound back after you plant them. So just on a very basic level, though, just know that compost is different than fertilizer. Fertilizer is not bad. So when I started, I wanted to be, you know, I was very, very adamant about being all organic. And I thought fertilizer meant chemical, meant poison, meant danger,
Right,
right?
then you couldn't eat it.
And that's just not the case. Like there's a lot of organic fertilizers out there, and you just have to. You have to fertilize every year or like every spring. There's a granular fertilizer that you can mix into your soil. And then also, especially if you're growing flowers, you have to fertilize throughout the season. Flowers are very heavy feeders, meaning like roses, peonies, like they need a lot of fertilizer. And so, you know, a lot of times they'll say fertilize your roses like after they bloom and you cut them, fertilize them again. And it makes a big difference. Like, and you might not be able to see it if you're growing one or two roses, but when you're growing 350 roses, you see the difference, whether if you fertilize or you don't fertilize. And so you can do that just with a bucket and a little fertilizer or granular around it. But just know that if you want a spectacular garden, you have to fertilize in the spring in the soil, and then you have to fertilize throughout the season. That's my
Okay,
big mistake.
I was using some things last spring that seemed to work well. It was a fish something, fish.
Fish emulsion of some sort.
Yeah, some type of fish emulsion that you mixed with water, and I just watered all the
Yeah.
flower plants with that. And
And that is great in the spring.
okay.
So, okay, because that has a lot of nitrogen. And so this is another mistake that I made. Okay. So, second mistake is just understanding how to fertilize. So, with how to fertilize, you start, whether you're starting little seeds or you buy transplants. When your plants are growing in this like early, like 6 weeks phase, they need to be fed with a nitrogen-rich fertilizer, which I use a product called Fox Farm fertilizer, and they have three different like stages. So the Grow Big is what I use in the spring, and that really feeds the vegetative part of the plant, and that plant will grow really strong and healthy. And then when it starts to put blooms on it, you need to switch your fertilizer. Because if you stay with that same nitrogen-based fertilizer, you're going to get a big green bushy plant, but not a lot of blooms. And so mid-season, when you start to see buds, you change it to Big Bloom. That's their name of it. And that will feed the phosphorus part of the plant, like the reproductive part of the plant that sets flowers. And those flowers, whether it's a dahlia or it's a tomato, you have to have flowers to have the fruit, right? And so mid-season, like in the middle of maybe June, when they're a little bit bigger and they start to set bud, switch the fertilizer to a flowering fertilizer. And then that will really help them have big, beautiful flowers and rebound after cutting and really make it through the rest of the season.
This is so good to know. I never knew there was a flowering fertilizer.
Yes.
Start with
And
something else first for the roots and the rest of it.
yes,
Big
so
impact.
important. So there's one plant that I would say not to fertilize, and that's cosmos. And I'm saying that because I know maybe there's other florists on here, but cosmos are one of those plants that like to grow in like an abandoned lot, right? They don't like to be nurtured. Like one year I was fertilizing them like everything else, and the plants were like 5 feet tall, but there were no flowers. They were just huge bushes. And so, and then I started reading like, oh, cosmos doesn't like nitrogen. It doesn't like to be fed. That's the only one that I grow that I really know of, like, okay, just leave the cosmos alone. They do not want a lot of fertilizer.
Well, that's interesting because those are some of the flowers that my mother and child planted for me for my Mother's Day garden last year, which got me started in gardening.
Oh, nice.
It's called yard work. I don't want to do it. That's how I grew up. My parents were always
Oh.
there. I never understood it. Then my mom and my son planted this little garden for me, full of cosmos. And so it did. It just all of a sudden it just came and I did nothing and it was just beautiful.
Yes. So don't
Those are
do anything with those. Just let those
okay.
keep going.
All right. Those are a good easy one to start with then for people.
Yes. Yes.
So the other thing for tricks for a pest-free garden, do you have any tricks for pests?
Yes. So in Colorado, we have a lot of pests. We have Japanese beetles, which I don't know if you have where you're at, but they are really destructive to dahlias and roses and all sorts of things. But I love, number one, you're always going to have some type of pest in your garden. That's just kind of part of it. So
No.
just, it's more about how do you manage pests and
Okay.
how do you manage weeds in your garden, right? And so one of the things that I've had a lot of success with is number one, beneficial nematodes. Beneficial nematodes, I order it online from Arbaco Organic, and it comes in a little, it looks like powder, and you just put it into a watering can, and you really have to stir it, stir it, stir it, stir it. And then you water either your grass or your garden. Like I put it in a backpack sprayer and spray our whole 3 acre lot. But it goes down. Basically, what it is, it's a microscopic worm that goes down into the soil and it kills the larva of a lot of bad bugs. So it's kind of like probiotics for the soil.
Okay.
Okay, so these are the good bugs,
Good bye.
good bugs, and you have to put it in the soil when it's cool. So they like late fall or early spring.
So now, do
Right
it
now.
now.
Yep, I just ordered mine. I'll probably put it on. There's still snow in Colorado. So I'll probably put it on next week or as soon as the snow melts, put it on.
Okay.
Yep, and you can put it
You
on.
send the link for the one that you like to order, and then we'll add that to your.
Yes, I'll add that to the list. And just
Okay.
know too, depending on what bug you have, there's different strains of nematodes. And so this is considered biocontrols, where it's like you're using the good bugs to fight the bad bugs. And so there's three different like boxes that you can buy, and there's a list of all the different bugs that we'll go after. So if
Okay.
you have something specific, look in there and find it and then get the strand that's best for you.
Okay. Perfect. I'm so excited about that. And my other question is about just sort of money saving tips for people who, like me, don't want to spend a ton of money on, buying the best soil, compost, fertilizer. Do you have any money saving tips besides sort of composting and using your own cut?
Yeah. Well, I would say look around your community and see where you can get things from. Like, for example, in Colorado, we do have a lot of cannabis growers, and they throw a lot of these peat pots away, and they're like made out of coco coir, and they cut the plant and then they throw all of these pots in the garbage. And one time someone called me and said, "Do you want them?" And so now I can go with a truck and pick all those up, take them out of the bag, and use that coco coir to amend the soil. And that is like, it's like adding organic material to the soil without adding a lot of the things that might come in compost. You know, back to the soil, my soil guy kept saying, you need to add organic material, but not compost. I was like, well, how do I do that? And it's like through things like that. So getting coquelicore, we're adding leaves in the fall, adding straw to mulch, all of that will add organic matter.
Okay.
So look around your neighborhood, see what you can buy or what you could get for free. Also, we get horse manure from a place right, like a house right down the neighborhood. And if you have any type of farms in your area where you can get manure, like goat manure, llama manure, cow manure, anything like that, that's great to mix in your compost pile. Now, I know if you have a small compost pile, you might not want to do that. But I will tell you to heat up your compost pile, a little bit of manure is amazing. Like whether you have a rabbit or something like that in your backyard, like if your kids have a pet rabbit, that is
Okay.
so good for your compost pile. But you can look around your neighborhood or your own property and see what are the things that you can do to make a really nice compost.
There is a neighbor nearby who's given me some chicken hay or straw, like the chickens like to go through. And so then she kind of gets rid of it. I think it's just her old hay. So that I've been putting that in my bed as just a nice
Oh yeah.
way to.
So is there a chicken poop in there?
I think so.
Yeah. So I would put that in your compost
Okay. So not
because
directly
it's not directly in your bed. I mean, you
in the bed.
could, but I would put it in your compost and that is going to really heat it up. I mean,
Okay.
as soon as I started adding manure into my compost pile, like it breaks down super quick because it's
We're
hot.
talking a lot about poop. What about deer poop? Because I have 10 deer in my yard sometimes in my backyard.
Oh,
I don't have
interesting.
a closed fence. And have you ever heard of that thing?
I don't know about deer poop. I would look it up. I'm not sure. I don't have any experience with it.
Okay.
Deer, if you have deer coming into your yard, they love flowers. So you're going to have to do something to protect your flowers.
Most of them are my front, and I'm gonna get a better fence, hopefully, this
Okay.
season
Nice.
coming. So what is your favorite flower? Or does it change based on what's it's probably
Yeah,
changed in your
it changes based on like the season, because like, right now, there's tulips. I love double peony style tulips or lily style tulips. But then in the spring, right now we have our peony field. It's going to come into the third season. So we have this huge peony garden and it's 350 plants. And they take 3 years to get going. So it's like we've been waiting and waiting and now we're so excited to be able to harvest them. So peonies are wonderful in June. They're so great. And then it goes into roses in like July. And roses, and then we have our lavender. So that's like July. And then dahlias in the fall. So it's like it kind of depends on the season, but those are like my main ones. Oh, bearded iris. Bearded iris is something new that we're growing in the spring. So we've planned our garden to really have it bloom, like something is blooming, like a wave of blooms all the way through the year. So spring is bearded iris and peonies, summer is roses and lavender, and then fall is dahlias, hydrangeas, lysanthes, and we have lots of other ones in there but those are our
The main.
focus flowers.
So I just went to Costco and found dahlias, I guess the dahlia tubers. And last year I had a beautiful pink dahlia. I'm not sure exactly what variety it was, but they were just beautiful, big, big blooms. And it lasted a long time, different blooms, just one plant. But of course I didn't dig it up and I didn't know what to do with the tuber. And then it was too late and I think the frost got it. So I bought some tubers. But I've never planted them directly. It was a small plant that I planted, the dahlia plant. How deep do I need to plant the tuber? And would you recommend, if it's a little bit cool still, putting them in a pot first so I can bring them in? Or would you say just
I
do
would
it
put them
directly outside?
out directly outside.
Just
I
thinking.
mean, what zone are you? You know what zone you're
Oh
in?
no.
What?
I
You
should know this. I really
need
should know this. What, tell me the what are the zones?
zone. Okay, so I'm zone 5. Actually, they just changed it to zone 6. So this is USDA growing zone. And you can go out to the USDA website. So just put USDA growing zone and then you put your zip code into the website. And then it will come out and it will tell you what growing zone you're at. Virginia, I think you're a seven.
Seven. I was gonna say seven. Yeah, if you gave me like a number, I was gonna say seven. If it's between
Yeah.
one and ten,
I think you're a seven. So I think you're a
okay,
little bit
seven.
warmer than we are. So like if we're six now, I think you're seven. So you're like a month ahead of us. So I plant our dahlias the end of April when we could actually still get a frost, but they're under the ground. So they're fine. Like they actually are totally fine with that. Even if it snowed on top, the ground is not going to freeze. They just can't freeze underground. So I would plant them 6 inches underground,
Okay.
minimum. So 6 inches underground. And then I've also heard different things on you should not water them until they sprout. Last year we had an amazing dahlia year and we planted them and then we got a ton of rain. Like my field was flooded. I was worried about them, thought they're gonna rot. They did amazing. They like shot up really quick, they grew so well. So now I think maybe they actually would benefit from water when you plant them.
Okay, and then how big do the plants get pretty big? So I shouldn't plant them like nothing like a tulip where you plant them right by each other. They get pretty large, the plants.
12 inches apart.
Okay.
I do 12 inches apart in all directions.
All right. And if there's different varieties, should I keep the varieties together? Or is that just like an aesthetic thing?
It kind of depends on if you're putting them in, like if you have a 10 by 10 garden in your backyard, or are they going into your landscape? You know, I definitely like putting like plants together because it makes a statement. You know, like you put all of your white ones together and they all bloom and it looks so pretty. Like it's just like a statement.
Yeah.
And then you put all of your rust color ones together and your pink ones. So I would group them and put them
Okay.
together.
It looks more intentional that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. What do you love most about gardening, Gina? What's
Oh, God,
how
there's
do you
so
do it?
much. There's so much that I love. But, you know, I love, I think for me, and I've really asked myself a lot of this question, like, why do I do this? Because it's a lot of hard work. Like, it's physical work. It is hard to make money selling flowers. Like, it's just, but why do I do it? And I think I come back and I realize this year, and my reel that kind of went viral about grief is like it really does help you move forward through whatever it is that you are going through in your life. You know, like there's always, just like in the compost pile, you know, take it back to compost. There's like these things that are dead and like ideas that are dead, that are like things that you wanted to do that are just not working. And then there's like growth and newness happening. And it's like this beauty of both of them. And so, wherever you're at in your life, whether you're starting a new business or you're grieving the loss of something, you know, I feel like you can go out to the garden and find peace, but you can find your reflection and you can find answers to hard questions in life that, you know, now, like for me, you know, I lost my mother when I was really young. And so, every stage of life, like you miss her, right? Like I miss her. And I don't have, like, I can't pick up the phone and like call and say, hey, my teenagers are doing this. What do I do? But if I go out to the garden and I'm just like weeding and just like working in the garden, I feel like answers come to me. You know, it's like, oh, like my teenagers are like these little sprouts that I just put out and they look like they're in shock, like they're gonna die, but they're just transplant shock. They just gonna get used to their environment. And I really need to keep nurturing them. And I need to do this. Like, this is what Mother Nature does. And then I find myself in that, and it teaches me, you know, what to do. So that's why I love gardening.
I have a friend whose first child just went to college, you know, so she's sort of in that place where she used to be, you know, there used to be more going on. And I feel like that would be a great new hobby just to kind of, you know, raise flowers and then, you know, kind of put your energy in a garden. So she's interested. So I think I'm gonna,
Oh, good.
hopefully she's listening today. I'll make sure she.
Yes.
What about the favorite place in your house to put flowers when you cut flowers for your own house?
Yes. I mean, I love them. I have different flowers for different areas. Like,
Oh,
I love putting a big like statement arrangement in my kitchen. So I have this like old French library like desk in my kitchen, and it's up against like a dark blue wall, so flowers just like pop out from it. But I always put like, it's kind of my nature table, I say. Like, I love having nature table where I have like, I'll put a big thing of tulips in there right now, and then bulbs kind of scattered next to it. And just, you know, if it's in the summer, like whatever I find out on hikes and walks, I put it on this little nature table. So I love that.
Yeah.
And then upstairs, though, in my bathroom, I love having flowers, but it's harder because it's upstairs and it's like, it's just not as easy to change them out quickly. So I love putting a big bouquet of dried flowers up there. So it's like I have live plants, and then I have in the winter time, I have a this winter I had a big arrangement of dried hydrangea and amaranth, and it was just so pretty all winter long, you know. And it was in a place where, I mean, there's still sunlight, but it's just I don't have to change it out all the time.
Yeah,
So that was really nice.
it's amazing how when you find the right things, how they'll still look nice, especially if you have it in a nice container. The whole
Yeah.
thing will stay and look beautiful, even if it's dried.
Yes. Yeah,
The
it will.
color and texture.
It reminds me of, I have a big bouquet of dried baby's breath. So we grew baby's breath last year. So it's like the heads are really big and beautiful. And I made this enormous like arrangement out of it. And I put it in my dining room. And so when you come down the steps, you kind of look through and you get this little glimpse of the dining room, but you don't see the whole thing. And when I come down the steps and I can look through and I see that big arrangement there and the light, how the light hits it. So it's nice, like having these little windows into a room, but that you have like a focal piece that you see. So I think mixing the dried and the fresh in different places around your home
Yeah.
is very nice.
And having, smaller containers and then larger ones.
Yeah, like little bud vases by the sink and bud vases. And I have a little bud, like dried bud vase in my bathroom. I have them all over my house. Yes.
I love going to antique stores and finding like little vintage looking shoes that you can put, arrangements in, and just, when they look really girly, it's so cute in a guest room or bathroom.
Yes. Yeah. When I have guests, I always put like flowers in a guest bedroom. That's always nice.
So nice. Well, I am so excited for people to maybe learn more from you and myself included with your online class. So that starts, when does that start?
So
Your
the
online.
class starts April 2nd. So it's coming up very, very soon.
Very soon.
That will be 4 weeks in April. And then, but it's also, so it's all videotaped, right? So it's pre-recorded. So you can watch it whenever you would like. But I think the best part of it is that it's going to be a year long of mentoring. So it's going to be a monthly Q&A. So after you take the class, it's all about how to design your garden, build your garden, how to keep it healthy. And then it's once a month until Thanksgiving, a Q&A check-in. So then if you have questions, because there's always questions that come up during the season, and then you have no one to turn to. So I'm like, my goal is to be able to support people, just like if you're an apprentice in our apprenticeship program who come to the farm every week. I think it's so important to have a mentor for the whole season, because that's where the beauty of like really understanding the rhythm of the year. You have to do it to the end. So, yes. Yeah, so that is coming out April 2nd.
Okay, so then, and once a month for how many months did you say is the Q&A following
So,
the week?
May, June, July, August, September, October, November, 7 months of
Months of
live
Q&A.
Q&A of like small group coaching.
Wow, that is great. So if you can follow Gina on her Instagram page, She Grows is the
She
name of
Grows
that.
Gardens is the handle.
Okay, so She Grows Gardens, and we'll have her website also to sign up for the spring gardening class club.
Yes.
The podcast link, we'll put that there too.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, well, Gina, thank you so much. I'm going to go out and get a compost pile and build a fence and get all these things done now.
Yes. Well, it was so nice chatting with you, and best of luck in your garden this year. I hope it grows amazing for you.
Thank you so much. I'll send you pictures of my dahlias.
Yes, please do.
Thank you for your
Okay.
tips,
All
Tina.
right. Bye.
Bye bye.